All right, now we left off this morning. Thank you for standing and thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for making a difficult message earlier this morning, making it a little bit easier. I appreciate your love for the Word of God and for our church and for allowing me the privilege of being your pastor. I don't take it lightly, and I want you to understand that when I have to turn up the heat just a little bit, it's not because I enjoy doing it. It's something that's necessary for you to know and for you to learn, and I hope that you understand that. I know that you always have, but I don't want to ever take that for granted. I realize that you're trusting me or opening yourself up to God's Word, and I don't ever want to take advantage of that. I don't want to overstep my boundaries. I realize you're doing me the favor to listen. And I don't ever want to take you for granted or take that for granted, that you're taking your time of all the other preachers and other places you could be. You chose to be here. And I don't tell you enough, but I really do appreciate you and I love you for it. And I love your loving of the Lord and allowing Him to work on me for a while. And you have to sit sometimes and get the aftermath. But trust me when I tell you, if he's turning the wrench, I'm trying to do what he wants me to do and be what he wants me to be. But I appreciate your persistence and your putting up with me. The Lord says this in the book of Philemon, the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. We talked about it in verse number 1. And then he lists some names of some people there in verse number 2. He talks about Alphaea there and Acrippus and the fellow soldier and the church in thy house. And grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Father, I pray that you'll help us, if you would please, tonight. Give us the liberty to be able to preach and to teach the things you've laid upon our heart. Lord, thank you for these folks. And I realize we're all the dogs that we are. We got fleas on us. But Lord, I sure am glad to be surrounded by this pack of dogs here. And I'd pray, Lord, that you might feed them here tonight, even with some crumbs from underneath your table, and that you might encourage us and strengthen us. Lord, thank you for the privilege of having Vacation Bible School. Thank you for a facility large enough to be able to do that. Thank you for the work that's being done next door. Thank you for allowing us to have air conditioning and heat. Thank you for the air conditioning that was repaired just a couple of days ago so that we'd have air conditioning for Vacation Bible School. Thank you for the work that's gone into preparing the Sunday school classrooms and getting the things ready so the teachers can make the classes interesting. Thank you for the work been done up on the platform and those things. Thank you for the work done around the buildings and all to get ready, including Brother Ernie taking out a couple of rotten boards and putting them back together and painting them so they'd be ready for these kids when they come in. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be a blessing to these kids and that they might see us as adults and even teenagers to set an example for them, that we enjoy serving them and we enjoy helping them and that we want to be a part of their Christian life. We'd ask now, Lord, that you might, through the Holy Spirit, open up your book and help us to behold wondrous and marvelous things out of it. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I get to thank you. You can be seated. You get to praying, and I get to thinking, well, I forgot to thank him for this, and then I forgot to thank him for that. I pulled in the parking lot a couple of days ago. We had to come by here. We had some printer issues and stuff, and Brother Brad came and replaced the one we had, and then the one at home went out, and we had to wind up making that thing work, and it's still not fixed, but we're getting it fixed, and we're up here, and I pulled in here, and I got to thinking to myself, I can remember when this was dirt out here, and pine trees, and then gravel, and not enough room to park far enough back, and woods. And I'm driving in the parking lot, and then we walk through the building here, and I walk over, and I see the stuff that Brother Holland's gotten done for us over there, and the people are up there, and they're on scaffolding, and I'm looking at all that stuff up there, and I'm thinking, where am I at? What in the world? I know at's not the right way to say it, but I'm wondering, well, where am I, and what all's going on? And you got a parking lot that's extended now, and you got places to park over here, and you got paved parking, and you walk in that big building over there and things, and walking here and the air conditioner's going and people are buzzing around and getting stuff done and getting excited about serving the Lord, and I'm thinking, man, God, you've been way too good to us. Amen. It's amazing. These boys have been telling you, they've been preaching you some great messages, but these boys have been telling you that there's not many places anymore open up even on Sunday nights. But you know what's a great thing is that it's not just that this place is open, it's that you're coming. That's the blessing of it. There's a lot of places that might be open, but it doesn't do any good for the place to be open if the people don't come. So I appreciate you coming. The Apostle Paul says this now. He says he's a prisoner and yet he's not complaining. Now we covered that this morning about murmuring and griping and complaining about other people and running in your own lane and staying in your own lane and doing things. And I gave you the passages this morning that told you that yea and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I gave you the passage this morning that says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." And that if you have a problem with somebody else, turn them over to the Lord and move on. And quit letting it consume your life. And if God don't take care of it, then don't worry about it. It's God's business, not your business. God says, if I'm going to take care of it, I'll take care of it. Write their name by that passage if you choose to, and turn them over to the Lord. The Apostle Paul turned an individual over to Satan. I wouldn't recommend you do that unless you feel like you could be turned over to Satan. The Apostle Paul's on pretty high cotton there, and the guy's doing some things he refused to do, and he refused to get right over it. And Paul said, I'm turning it over to the Satan that he might have the destruction of the flesh, that he may be saved in that day. Not talking about permanent salvation, it's so that he'll wind up with something at the judgment seat. I don't recommend that you do that, but I do recommend this. If you have a problem that you just can't build a bridge and get over, you need to get down and do business with God and say, God, this person right here is really bothering me and I need you to fix it and I need you to take care of it and I need you to deal with it because I can't deal with it. Now, if you're not willing to do that, then you're not a Bible believer. But remember, when you get ready to do that, if you're going to sic God on somebody, be assured that God might sic, or they might sic God on you. You want to be real careful that you're not seeing it just through your eyes and thinking, well, I know I'm right and everybody else is wrong. We talked about that some this morning. I don't want to reiterate that or go back over it. But chances are, if you're not getting some kind of opposition somewhere, you're not doing anything for the Lord. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what he said. And that persecution comes from your own flesh, and it comes from the flesh of the brethren, and it comes from other people. I mentioned to you this morning, just because I feel it needs to be repeated, is that you have to realize that God realizes that you're around other people, and other people aren't perfect. And I get tired sometimes of hearing people talk about the church, the people in the church, the Christians, the people, the people, the people, the people, the people, the people. Well, I realize we're messed up. We're nothing but a hospital with a bunch of rejects in it. We're nothing but a pack of dogs and a herd of wild pigs and those kind of things. And I'm not trying to belittle you or bemoan you or anything like that. I'm saying sometimes we lose our position as to who we really are. You're still around people. Saved people should be better, but you should be better. I mean, if you think about it, you probably don't hit it out of the ballpark every day. Do you? I mean, are you perfect every day? How about we call your husband, ma'am? If he could just be completely honest. Or how about, sir, we call your wife? Or we have your kids. The old preacher used to tell the illustration. I loved listening to him. He'd tell the illustration about people can live godly and live perfect. And the preacher's preaching a message up there that, you know, you can strive and so on and so forth, but you're never going to make it. And the preacher got him in the car and they're riding to the restaurant. And he says that the preacher of the church there says to him, he said, "Now, you know, preacher, you said some things about people can't live sinless perfection and all that kind of stuff." And he said, "No, I can't live sinless perfection. Do the best you can and thank God for the blood, you know." And he said, "Well, I have to disagree with you there." And the old preacher said to him, he said, "What do you mean you disagree?" He said, "Well, I mean, I believe people can be sinlessly perfect." And the old preacher said, "Well, I'd like to see that. Who would that be?" And he said, "Me." That's what he said. He said, "Me." And the little girl, before the old preacher could say anything, sitting in the back seat, the little girl said, "Oh, Daddy, you know that's not true." Now, if you take a good long look at yourself, I mean, realize sometimes you got it down pat. You just get up from the altar and you're doing pretty good and things are going pretty well. But every day, all day, come on, man. There's none of us that live that way. You know what you have to learn to do each other for each other? Be tolerant of each other. Learn to get along. I realize you want to throw biscuits at each other every now and then. I'd rather you do that than throw knives. But every now and then, you know what you have to do? You have to realize, as hard as it is for you to put up with somebody, it's hard for people to put up with you. Amen. That's just the fact of the matter. It's like a marriage. Miss Tritch just grabbed Brother Larry like, here he goes. There is absolutely no way anybody has been married. You better listen to me. You hearing me, Joseph? You hearing me, Rachel? There's nobody that's been married more than 6 weeks that doesn't realize that, guess what, you ain't on the same page all the time. And I hate to tell you, as much as you men are the man of the household, every now and then she's right. And sometimes you've got to just eat your Cheerios and go, baby, I'm sorry, you did pretty good on that. Well, what does that mean, honey? I mean, you did good. Well, but what does that mean? All right, you were right. All right. That's part of being married. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make him cry. Got him upset. Now, one of the things you have to learn to do is to be as tolerant of others as Christ was of you. Now, people aren't always faithful all the time. Didn't you know that? Did you know people backslide? Did you know that? Did you know people get out of fellowship with the Lord every now and then? Do you ever recognize that if He quit on you when you quit on Him, how quick you'd be out? I mean, sometimes you can be backslidden and sitting in a church pew. You know what you have to learn to do? Just be patient. The Lord will bring them around. Pray for them. Paul's fixing to tell you right here in this passage, he said, I pray for you. Could I ask you this question? Do you pray for others or do you criticize others? Do you pray for the preacher or do you criticize the preacher? Do you pray for the deacons or you criticize the deacon? Do you pray for the trustees or do you criticize the trustees? You pray for the musicians or you criticize the whichever ones I said, musicians. Do you pray for the people that are teaching Sunday school back there for your kids? You've got generations of kids that have come through here now. Some of you came through Sunday school here, and now you got married and got your own kids in the same Sunday school with the same teacher. Our teachers never grow old around here, ever. They never grow old and they never grow mold. But here's the thing you have to realize, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we get the critical spirit about us. Yes. And instead of praying for people, we criticize everybody. It's epidemic. You live in a world now that criticizes everybody about everything. From politics all the way through to preferences and prejudices, it's always criticize, criticize, criticize. Well, Paul said, I pray for you. Boy, that's a pretty good deal. Do you know what that's like? Even if you're not going through difficulty, you know how many people call here? How many people email here? Do you know how many people will see me at a place and say, hey, could y'all pray for me? Could you add me to the prayer list? Could you put this on prayer? Could you pray? Could you pray? I mean, what we got to do is start thinning out the prayer list. The thing's getting to be like, you know, the 95 thesis, the nail on the wall up there. But what you have to recognize is, do you know how it makes somebody feel when somebody walks up to you and says, hey, I'm praying for you?
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to tell you what. You want to light your kids' fire tonight and you get ready to go to bed tonight after you go home and have your chocolate milk and your cookies and donuts. And I recommend highly the Hot Now on the way down the road here. It's a real good place for you to go. Those things are full of air and, you know, and sugar and that kind of deal. Very low in calories. As long as you leave them in the window. But so when you pick them up, they'll grab a hold of you. But you know what happens? You go home, you get ready to do that, you get ready to put the kids to bed and say, yeah, good night, see you later. Walk in there with them and say, let me pray for you.
Yeah.
Put your hand on the small of the back of that little kid and put your hand on their head. And this is good for grandma and grandpa.
Yes.
And pray over that kid. And let them hear you call their name in prayer. My goodness, man, you talk about something they won't never forget. I'm telling you what, man, there's nothing like it. Granddaddy prayed for me. Papa prayed for me. Grandma prayed for me. Mimi, I think that's another name. Is a Mimi a grandparent now? Is that a Mimi? I'm not being fun. Granny, Grandma, Nana, whatever it is you call them. Nana, whatever. I don't matter. They prayed for me. One of the things I can tell you about both of my grandmothers is both of them could cook up a storm. But they could pray up a storm too. One of the things I could tell you about both of my grandparents, Jake on my mama's side and my my granddaddy Peacock on the other side. One of the things I could tell you is they had a multitude of abilities and things that they could do. But one of them was a really, really good businessman. The other was real good in the garden and hunting and fishing and able to run a small store there in Calera. But you know what I remember about them? I remember they could pray. I remember they weren't afraid to pray. Didn't matter if we were out of a restaurant. There wasn't a whole lot of that in them days. But you sit around the table, and before you'd touch that food, man, if you didn't want to feel the wrath of God pop you upside the head, you didn't touch that food, man, until they blessed the food. I can see that hat come off many a time, man. Time to bow for prayer. And you get out over that prayer, and man, I'm going to tell you what, you think you're having a prayer meeting. Many a time, that table's got to spread out there to make this one right here look like stinking, you know, a little breakfast snack or something. And grab hands around that table and bow their head. And boy, you feel like God comes sit down right at the table with you. Squirrel brains down there and fried, you know, okra and fried, you know, tomatoes, green fried tomatoes and quail and bass and deer and eggs and bacon and all kind of stuff there, and you're sitting there and your mouth's watering, and the hot biscuits come out, cat heads come out of the sitting on the table there, and steam coming off of them. And Nana take the cover and cover it up to keep the steam on them, keep them soft, you know. Butter just barely sitting there, almost like jelly. It's melted, ready to just, it can't wait to jump in them biscuits. You better not touch that food. Until that food was blessed. You say, why? They knew who from all blessing came. They knew where them meal came from. They knew where them string beans and them butter beans and them carrots and peas and tomatoes come from. They knew who blessed. You say, well, Papa plowed the garden. They knew God's the one that grew that stuff. And they didn't make no bones about it. And taters down in the cellar to go down and get them. They'd leave forever and you cut the eye out of them and get them up there and throw the stuff in the pressure cooker. Hand pies. Those things were, you couldn't even eat a hand pie. We'd be out in the middle of a boat fishing and couldn't wait to get it. You know, it's time to eat lunch. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Let's eat lunch, you know. Those hand pies are in there with, that's flour stuffed with apples and cinnamon and then closed up like that and mashed with a fork around the side and then soaked in butter and covered in sugar and cinnamon and then baked off in the oven and then brought out. And in those days, there weren't no baggies. It was wax paper.
Yes.
And put them in wax paper and put a rubber band around them. Mm-hmm. And then put them in the sack and the butter would leak through the sack.
Amen.
I mean, that kind of good eating. The heck with the sardines and all that other kind of stuff and the Vienna sausage and all that and the saltine crap. Give me them hand pies. It's 8 o'clock, man. And you reach in that hand and you'd see all of a sudden, you'd see Pawpaw look across that boat and he'd take that fishing rod like this, like he's fixing to backhand you with it. He'd put that bag back down and can we please have it? He said, not till we pray, boy. In a boat? No crowd around, nobody else. Me and my brother sitting there in the boat fighting with each other or throwing around, cooning around, messing around, doing all kind of crazy stuff. And the next thing you know, it's time for you to eat. Can I? Not till you pray, boy. Not till you pray. Paul said, I prayed. I prayed for you. Do you pray for each other? Do you spend as much time praying for each other as you do talking about each other? How about next time you get ready to send out a Facebook post about somebody, how about you do this? Why don't you send a Facebook to Jesus on him? That person that bothers you, do you pray for him? God might have put him in your path to try to make you pray.
Right.
Might be something that you might want to consider. Maybe they're rubbing up against you because the Lord hadn't heard from you in a while. We had a bad thing come through here. What was it? The late 90s? I don't know, Brother Holland. When was that bad storm we had? Was it the 90s or after, right before they changed all the building codes and stuff? Andrew. And so they have this deal come through here and all that kind of stuff. I bet you the Lord heard voices he ain't never heard in a long time, that thing. That wind gets to howling like that and stuff framming and banging around and that kind of a deal. It's funny how somebody will pray for themselves to be saved, but they won't pray for somebody else. Do you realize prayer changes things?
Amen.
Did you know that? Why do you think he tells you men ought always to pray? You say, what do you pray about? Everything. Everything. That way, you know what happens if something does happen, you give God the glory for it.
Yes.
Don't think it's happenstance or it's happenchance. There's two things when it comes to the way the Lord works it out. There's His providence in doing certain things. When God chooses to do something, He has His permissive will. And then He, besides His permissive will, He has His directive will. He's directing things to happen this way, and He intends for them to go that way. And if you follow the directive will, you come out over here. And then there's other things that He allows. That's called His permissive will. It doesn't mean it's His will. He allows it.
Amen.
You know why Paul's in prison? God allowed it.
Amen.
You know why this thing came and went across the entire world? God allowed it.
Amen.
You can't, well, it was Wuhan and it was a bat and a pig and a this and that and the other, or it was made up in North Carolina and then it was shipped by Fauci over to China, they wound up subbing the thing out over there and so on and so forth and all. No. God allowed that whole thing. I don't care how you got it all figured out, how it came about. God knew about it. God could have stopped it. You say, what was it? He let it happen. He let it happen. And there's more to come. The band's just getting started up. I mean, things are just getting started. This just getting cranked up. You ain't seen nothing yet, baby. It's fixing to get gone before long. You say, well, how long before the rapture? I couldn't tell you. I wish it'd be like now.
Amen.
I mean, like now.
Right.
He missed his cue again. Like now. Well, anyway, Whether it does or it doesn't, you know what God does? God says, I'm directing you to do this. Now do what I tell you to do. Here's the way. Walk ye in it. Paul said, no. He said, don't go to Jerusalem. Paul said, I got to go to Jerusalem. He said, I'm telling you, don't go. Agabus comes down and says, Paul, the Lord told me to tell you, don't go. And he gets two more warnings. He gets a total of five warnings. And he chooses, I'm going to go anyway. And he winds up down there, and he still winds up in Rome where God said he was going to go. God allowed him to go, but he went the hard way. He went after a shipwreck and a snake bite and being imprisoned and all kind of other stuff. And he floated over to Rome on a piece of a broken ship, but pretty much. And he winds up over there, and now he's sitting over there in jail waiting. You say, why are you telling me that? Do you ever just pray sometimes and ask what God's will would be for your life? He's better than the GPS system. So I just think you're kind of using him for a crutch. Thank you. You know what Joseph learned after the Lord busted his hip, after he knocked it out of socket? He learned to lean on a crutch the rest of his life. You know why? Because before he learned to lean, guess what he did? He made a lot of stupid decisions.
Yes. Amen.
You know what you have to learn as a Christian? Sometimes you have to learn you don't have all the answers for everything. Old people tend to have more answers than young people do because of experience. But us old people don't even have all the answers for everything. You know the safest thing to do? Ask the Lord. Lord, what should I do? You say, why? He's the Ancient of Days. He knows everything there is to know. Sometimes when you get, nobody can tell you anything when you get that way. The Lord might have to knock your hip out of socket. You might have to walk with a limp the rest of your days to teach you, Hey, Jake, remember me? Yes, sir, Lord, I remember you. Yes, sir, Lord, I remember you.
Amen.
Yes, sir, Lord, I remember you. You reckon you'd be walking like that, Jake, if you just started listening to me way back there before you set up a plan to deceive your daddy? No, sir, Lord, I'd have been better off if I'd have just been letting you take care of things and I followed your directive will instead of my foolishness. The Apostle Paul comes down in that passage right there when he's talking along those lines about praying. You know what he says to a congregation? You imagine the congregation hearing that. I was thinking this and along the lines of prayer. I was thinking, would that place be over there? Would that parking lot be there? Would that land be bought? Would that land be paid for? If it wasn't for an old man walking around out there praying. If there weren't little bags of dirt that were sent all over this country and with little names on there, 3857 Hartley Road, could you pray the Lord to give us a piece of property to be able to? I wonder if you'd have that if it wasn't for prayer. You don't think prayer changes things? I think it's all over there because of prayer. I think the reason it's where it is right now is because of prayer. I don't think it has anything to do with anything but prayer. God could have said no, but what God's done is gradually He's brought it along. People ask me all the time. Matter of fact, I read a letter today to somebody came in. I think it was Brother Woodard or Brother Sam came in. We got a letter today. As we are moving into 2021, we recognize that many congregations are beginning to reduce in size and they're beginning to come together as one thing. And we would like to tell you that we know a congregation of people that would be interested in purchasing your building. And if you would like to join up with somebody else because you're growing smaller and you need more, to reduce the size of your facilities, I have a congregation of people that would love to come in. And, you know, if you're interested in selling, call, 1-800 who cares. You get it all the time. What are y'all doing? It's COVID. Doing what God said.
Amen.
You imagine what a fool Noah must have looked like.
Sure.
They've never even seen rain. Not one day in their life. They've never seen rain. And he's building a boat. What are you building a boat for? Going to be a flood. Sure, preacher. Sure. Oh, yeah, man. Sure, man. Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be a... No, the Lord said it's going to come rain, man. Going to be judgment day. Wouldn't you like to get on the ark? Are you kidding me, man? I'm not getting on the ark. I couldn't tell you what He's going to do.
Sure.
I just know what the next step is. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't see way out in the future and prophesize to what's going on. You say, what are you doing? What are you going to do the next day? I'm going to take one step at a time. Something's going on.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe the rapture will happen and we all get out of here. And then you get up there to heaven and you say, well, Lord, we never got to do anything with building. He said, oh, yeah, building served its purpose. I was checking to see where people were willing to communicate for what I wanted to have done. See if they're willing to invest in something eternal instead of something in the here and now. Oh, yeah, I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish for the building. Whether people get in it or not. The Lord said, I wanted to see if they were willing to invest in something long-term, like forever. I'll show you that here in the passage here in just a second. It's in Philemon. The Apostle Paul comes down there and he said, I'm praying for one another. Come to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. Paul says this to the church at Colossae. He says, we give thanks to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying what? Are you there? Colossians 1, verse number 3. Are you there?
Yes.
Praying always for what?
You.
You know what he says? He said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying all the time. Do you pray for other people all the time? Can they count on your prayers? He says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, he said, if a man loves me, it's known of him. You know, if that's the case, if you love Jesus Christ, people know you love Jesus Christ by your willingness to pray for them, by your willingness to take their burdens on you, by your willingness to sit down and say to yourself, Lord, who needs help this week? Who can I pray for? Now, I wouldn't dare do this and I would never make it public, but you have some people that are associated and affiliated with our church, and that includes a lot of people that now watch online because they don't have churches around them anymore. And so they watch. A lot of them watch. And they contribute and they give. And they probably will never even come to this place. But you ever pause and think about this? They're counting on you and your prayers. And if you love the Lord, you know what they should be able to do? Instead of thinking to yourself that you're going to be criticizing people, you'll be, who can I pray for this week? Who can I pray for this week? I tell you a good place to start. Start with your enemies. So they don't need prayer. Well, they must have something wrong with them or they wouldn't be your enemy. You don't think they need prayer? Why are they your enemy if they don't need prayer? There's it right in front of your face. You say, preacher, what do you need? A young man texted me this morning, preacher, what do you need today? I said, prayer. I get a bunch of texts in the mornings, especially on Sunday mornings, early in the morning, praying for you, praying for you, praying for you. I appreciate that. I need that. It's important. But the question would be is the Lord bring somebody to mind you could pray for right now without you even having to ask? Lord, I know who I'm going to pray for this week. I'm going to challenge you. You ready? I'm going to challenge you. Whoever that person is, don't share it with anybody. You pray for them for this entire week from this Sunday to next Sunday. You just watch and see what the Lord does. You say, He's going to change them, straighten them out, and going to fix them. See, the problems, the prayer there has nothing to do with the person. It has to do with you.
Amen.
Try it. Put me to the test. See if the Lord's true about it or not.
Amen.
Take your Bible, if you would, please, and look back in Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. If you love the Lord, you talk about the Lord. Is that right?
Yeah.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Right.
A fellow told me one time, he said, I'm not very good at witnesses and stuff. But boy, if you wanted to know anything about how to catch a bass, and you want to know anything about a yellow-tailed Sally, and you want to know anything about a nipodidy, and you want to know anything about monofilament, 20-pound test line, and how long to make the leaders, and whether or not to hook the fish that you're going to have behind the boat. You want to break his tail a certain way and run the sinker underneath his mouth there so that he sits up just right, so that he trolled this way, and then you put another hook and you feed it in after his gut there and put it in and sew it back up. And boy, if you want to know how to make the bait and where to get the bait and how to get the thing out and get the fish on the line and get the downrigger up and get the outriggers out and be able to, boy, you talk about a motor mouth. Yeah, I guess you talk about what you love. I guess you talk about what's on your heart the most. Do you talk about him? If a man love me, it'll be known of him. Do you talk about him? I've been with men before. This is years ago. Not much now. I'm around you folks now, and I know most of you, and I know where you come from. But I've been around men, and if you were around them very long at all, you wouldn't even know they were married or had a family. They never bring it up. You go to a restaurant to sit down somewhere to get a hamburger and a glass of iced tea or something like that, and before long they got some kind of conversation going on, and you notice them sitting at the table this way, and they're talking to her, and winking at her, and talking to her, and things like that. And I'm thinking, you're going to say something about, my wife, she sure would like this if she was able to be with us or something. Never open your cotton picking mouth. Why not? You flirting? Putting some bait on the line?
Yeah, sure.
How come you don't talk about him? It's not that you can't talk. You do talk. You talk about what you want to talk about. My Lord, football, baseball, basketball, soccer, golf, tennis, hunting, fishing. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You talk about all those things. Don't tell me you can't talk. Automobiles, cars, houses, real estate, investments, the news. God help us all. I'm just throwing up in my mouth now. I feel like I need one of them purple pills things to make it go down. The news, what's happening in such and such a place. Politics. Don't tell me you can't talk. You do talk. You do talk. God gave you a mouth to talk. But do you talk about Him? You spend your time talking about others. One of the weakest forms of leadership is to always be talking about others. Always be griping about what somebody else is doing. Murmuring and complaining. That's where we were this morning. Exodus 16, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. They're murmuring and complaining about Moses and Aaron. In effect, what they're doing is the same thing that Adam did when the Lord said, "Where are you?" He said, "It's that woman. It's that woman." God don't like hearing you talking about other people.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, I got a little bit of a soup sandwich going on. My family ain't all perfect and all that other kind of stuff. There's things go on in my family just like go on in your family. You're not immune to it if you're, whether you're a preacher or a Christian or not.
Amen.
You're not immune to those kinds of things. I got those kind of things going on. But I can tell you this, I might can say some things and you might say the same things that are true. But I'm probably going to have something to say to you because it ain't none of your business to be talking about my family.
Right.
Well, how do you think God likes you talking to Him about His family? I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm just trying to say, can you learn to just be a little bit more gracious? People are messed up right now. I mean, really, they are messed up. Some of our parents have kids around here. I'm not going to throw it at you. Just give me a second. Y'all are ducking. So they got kids. They've raised them right and done right. And guess what? They've messed up.
Yeah, that's right.
What you want them to do? Cut them off? Make you happy? Or does it make you look good because your kid didn't mess up and theirs did?
Come
on. Well, you want a chest or a medal or a medal or a chest or something dependent on. I don't understand that. It ain't because of you. It's because of God's grace.
Amen.
I have nothing to do with you. Stop giving yourself credit for something you didn't have nothing to do with.
Amen.
And stop taking responsibility for something you're not responsible for. If your kid grew up and messed up, that's on your kid. It ain't on you.
Yeah. Amen.
Build a bridge and get over it. Let the kid be responsible and pray for the kid and tell him, come back to the house when he gets his stuff together. But I just want to stay on this for just a second, ladies and gentlemen. It's an important thing. Excuse me. And that thing is that, listen, if you're all God's kid, God knows things about us.
Amen.
Every one of us have things God knows about us. I don't care. You got a husband and a wife. You say, oh no, they don't keep no secrets from me. You trust me when I tell you, if you cracked that skull of his open right now and he knew your thoughts, you'd walk out the door. You wouldn't even go back to pack your bags. You kick his hind end out in the middle of the street so fast it'd make your head swim. And that goes for you too, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Lady came up to the old preacher one time and said, did you know about so-and-so? And he said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, you mean you knew about this and this? She said, yes, ma'am. I've been talking to him for about 4 or 5 years. And she said, well, why didn't you tell me? He said, because it's none of your business. It's interesting how people can do that. She said, well, I don't like your attitude. And he said, oh, well. But you know what's strange? People have a tendency to talk about other people and they never think about what God knows about you. Did you hear about so-and-so? No, I didn't. But if God told me everything about you that you want me to know about everybody else, I'd probably throw up in my mouth and then not want to talk to you anymore. Do you honestly think God's interested in how you feel about His kids? About as much as I'm interested in what you think about mine. I'm very much aware of what's going on in my family. I bet you I know things about my family you don't know.
Right.
I'm just guessing. I'm just saying I probably do. I know you think you know them all because you see them on all the media and stuff like that, but I'm just going to say I probably know a few things about them you don't know. Do you think he knows some things about who you're talking about that we don't know?
Amen.
Do you ever realize that sometimes people act that way because there's things going on in their life that if you were under the same pressure, you probably couldn't handle the pressure? If you talk about Jesus or you talk about others. Look, if you would, please, I'll give you the passage there in the book of Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter number 12. Come all the way down to verse number 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. Now, boy, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty rough thing. You know what he said? God's keeping a record of what you're saying. Maybe it might be a good practice for all of us to get in the situation where we might recognize, might be better for me to keep my mouth shut.
Yes.
If I love him, do I want to see him? Do you want to see him?
Yes.
Say, well, yeah, but not right now. Okay. Well, I'm not going to get you to drink the Kool-Aid or nothing like that, but Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Be better to be with Him than it would to be down here.
Yes.
No problem you have that wouldn't come to a conclusion. Come back to the book of Philemon at the rapture. Not Philemon, let's go all the way. Yeah, go all the way to Philemon. Let me show you this real quick. Try to get through this here. Now, I promise you, I'm not chastising you, but if the shoe fits, wear it. It's epidemic. It doesn't need to be. You've been taught that by modern media and by other people. Can I tell you a little something I learned? I don't know if you'll find this to be true or not, but it's been true for me. If somebody is always interested in talking about someone else to you, trust me when I tell you, when you're not around, they're talking about you to someone else. If every time you get ready to sit down, somebody's on their list and they're talking about them, then when you're not there, they're talking about you to somebody else. Now, the quickest way to cure that is to say, I don't need to hear no more. Thank you, I don't really need to hear no more. Somebody that does that on a regular basis, there's something wrong with the person that those words are coming out of. All right, now look at this. Paul says this in the book of Philemon there. He comes down there. He says, we have great joy and consolation and love because of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And then he goes on down here to say this. He says, I'm praying for you and I'm praying for the others. And then look in verse number 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul is using the word communication there to show that it's the communication of giving. Come over to the book of Galatians and let me just show you a couple of things. One day, everything you've done for Jesus Christ and for the saints is going to be made manifest, and it's going to be made manifest in front of everybody. And God's going to reward you and God's going to give you a crown. The Apostle Paul's talking about here in communication, he's talking about your ability to give of your time, of your service, and of your substance. And as uncomfortable as it may be, the Apostle Paul says, when I was over here in Thessalonica and I had a need, you met my need by taking care of me. And it is known of you that you're taking care of other people and meeting their needs. What you're doing when you're doing things for the Lord is you're doing things for His glory and for His honor and for recognition at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this isn't a message on giving. This is just to understand that communicate is not always with your mouth. Communication oftentimes has to do with you being able to support, whether it be a missionary, be a preacher, be in the Lord's work, whatever it might be. God puts you to the test there sometimes. It's one thing to talk it. It's another thing to walk it. It's a one thing, as they say out in the world, to put your money where your mouth is. Now, it's just a part of the thing. You do with it whatever you want. This is no pressure. I got no gun to your head. I'm not going to call you a God robber and try to put you under a guilt trip. Listen, the Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. Yes. If somebody has to force you into it, or you're afraid if you don't, that it's some kind of hostage situation and the Lord's blackmailing you, and that if you don't, you're going to have a wreck on the way home, wrap your car around a telephone pole because God's going to extract His 10%. God ain't hard up. I mean, if God needed money, He could just make some.
Sure.
Right? I mean, He paves the streets in heaven with gold.
Right.
That's your God right there. He has the end of His government. There is no end. He owns everything. So, I mean, I don't care who it may be down here, Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or anybody else that's got, they ain't got a thimbleful compared to what he's got. Amen. The principle is not for him. He's not hard up. He ain't broke.
Right.
The opportunity is for us as a human being. It's not the amount. You understand? It's the reason. It's the quality. It's, did I do what I could do? There's a woman there with two mites. She did what she could do. Mary, she broke the box. What'd she do? What she could do. Has nothing to do with a dollar figure. It has to do with the attitude behind what you're doing. In Galatians chapter number 6, the Bible says this in verse number 6. The Bible says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What is a communication? Appreciate it. Thank you. I sure do appreciate it. No, communicate there is to be able to give him something. That's 1 Corinthians 9. Paul said, I minister to you in carnal spiritual manners. You minister me in carnal manners. In the old days, they paid the preacher with fish or with corn, or they paid him with other things that they might have. They might do work for him, and they might do certain things. If they didn't have a way to pay the preacher, they pay him with crops. They bring him vegetables and bring him fruit and bring him bread and different things like that. I'm not looking for groceries. I'm just trying to help you understand. I'm uncomfortable doing this, but I'm here to tell you it's a biblical principle. The Apostle Paul is telling this to Philemon, and then the Lord is saying to you, now if you're getting anything from the book, make sure you take care of the one giving you the book.
Amen.
Now look at verse 7. Do you see a little bit of a different context now? You said, now wait a minute, preacher, verse 7 is you reap what you sow, and God is not mocked. Yeah, but did you see verse 6? Look down at verse 9. Especially those of the household of the faith. You see that? Is that 9 or 10? You know what he just said right there? He said, by the way, communicate to the guy that's teaching you the book. That shows me that you care that I sent you somebody to teach you the book.
Amen.
Oh, and by the way, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he that soweth to the flesh, and he that soweth to the spirit. And then 9 or 10 right there where he gives you the idea, especially those of the household of the faith, the Lord says, I'm grading you. Do you appreciate a missionary that'll go to the foreign field? Then pile him up. You appreciate a preacher that takes care of you? Pile him up. Well, I think he makes enough. I think he makes plenty. The Lord said, okay, fine. That's what you think. That's your value of it. Then, okay, no problem. I talk to preachers all around the country. They're not fortunate like me. You folks take good care of me. I got no complaints, none whatsoever. So don't think I'm in here, you know, waiting to bump the trustees. I'm having to tell them all the time, it's enough, it's enough, it's enough, it's enough. He'll let us do more. We don't do it. No, it's enough. Stop. It's no problem here. Don't get that wrong idea. But I talk to preachers all around here. You know, preacher, you working a job? You know, Paul, he's a tent maker. Paul wasn't a tent maker his whole life, and he didn't have to make tents. What he did was let his offerings go to take care of other things. Why is it you always wanting to hold the preacher down? Why is it you expect to get a raise? And why is it you expect to get days off? And why is it you expect to have vacation? Why is it you expect to get benefits? And you expect to get insurance and all that? And these people in these towns are under there. Man, preacher, you know you ought to work. I hope you got insurance. That ain't right, man. God's looking down there and thinking, you mocking me? That's what you're going to do? I send you somebody to preach the book and that's how you treat them like that? Boy, you talk about a reckoning day. Now, you folks won't have to worry about that. But I'm not talking about you. Do you understand? I'm hoping that this thing is going out and some old buzzard is sitting around there that ain't been to church since Moby Dick was a minnow, and he's sitting up there and, you know, preacher, they going to give him $10 an hour raise, you know, and he don't work enough. He don't do nothing but get up and talk three times a week. And, you know, what you do is when you can't do nothing else, you just be a preacher. Now, let me tell you something, you old cuss. You better watch that. You're getting on God's bad side.
Right.
God said, you ain't going to mock me that way, boy. You're going to reap what you sow, and boy, will you reap it.
Amen.
Take your Bible and come over to the book of Philippians. Now, that's a hard thing for me to say because it sounds like I ain't complaining. God's taken good care of me, and God's piled me up and watched over me and cared for me. And preacher, didn't you leave this, and didn't you leave that, and didn't you make this amount, and didn't you make that amount? God's made it up and then some.
Amen.
I ain't never missed a single bit of it.
Amen.
God's taken good care of me. You hear me? God's all never let me be hungry. Never let me be starved. We've never been late on a bill unless I forgot to pay it. But I'm never, not because it wasn't in there.
Right.
God's taking care of me. Don't go feeling, well, the preacher, he left this and he could have been so on and so forth. I'm everything God's allowed me to be. And God looked back over there and said, well, let's see, you'd have been about right here right now. So let's see, what does that figure? Michael, you got the calculator up there. Let's see what I got. Let's make sure we take care of this guy right here. You think I'm going to get up there and say, Lord, you're kind of indebted. You know how many friends I have, how many people in my life that are like my family? You people are like my family. God's given me everything and then some that I could have ever had.
Amen.
You have no idea how good God's been to me and to her. You have no idea. You smoking crack if you think I'm walking around. Well, a fella asked me a few weeks ago. He said, do you ever miss being a policeman? I said, every now and then I miss being a policeman. I said, I enjoyed it. I really love doing it. He said, would you like to go back to it? I said, heavens no, man. I love what I do. He goes, yeah, but there's just so much more excitement. I said, you in the ministry? He said, well, no. I said, well, let me just tell you, never a dull moment, man.
Amen.
I said, there is always something going on. I said, I feel like my hair is on fire half the time, man, running all over the creation and handling all kind of stuff and getting the privilege to meet people and to preach and to see people get saved and all. Are you kidding me? Exciting, man. Sometimes I have to get away and say, honey, give me some nitro or something. I think I'm going to have a heart attack. I mean, I'm getting on up there in age and I feel like I'm just hitting my stride.
Right. Amen.
I like it.
Amen.
I'd go as far as to say I love it. I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
Amen.
You say, why are you trying to tell me that? I'm trying to tell you, if God guides, He provides.
Yes.
So, well, if I was you, I wouldn't have left before I got my full retirement and all that. I admit to you, 80% of a captain's pay wouldn't have been bad. If I'd have stayed that much longer, I'd have been able to invest and then get my buyout at the end of the time and all that other kind of stuff. That'd have been some nice, jingle bells to put in the box right there. You don't think He considers all that? He knows all that stuff.
Amen.
He's like, hey, boy, you trust me, don't you? Yes, sir. Okay, come on, get out of the boat.
Amen.
You want to walk on water, don't you, boy? Yes, sir. Come on, jump out of the boat. I'll walk with you.
Amen.
Leave all them rest of them birds in the boat. Come on, join me.
Amen.
I might have sunk a time or two, but He's always been right there to pull me right back up.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, He is a good God.
Amen.
He has been with me through everything you can possibly. I could preach for an hour on just God's been good to me.
Yes, sir.
I like that song, God has been so good to me. He has been good to me, man. And allow me a congregation like this to preach to you on a Sunday night. Do you realize we have more people here on a Sunday night than many churches in the United States of America have on a Sunday morning and a Wednesday and a Sunday all put together? Do you know how good God's been to me?
Amen.
Got people to come listen to hear me preach. You must be half out of your mind, man. You think this ain't a preacher's dream? I get to preach sometimes 10 times in a week.
Yes.
10 times in a week, man. You say, what is that like? It's like crack. It's like, I would say it's like heroin, but heroin kind of gives you the nods. Crack's kind of like, I've been told. I don't know by experience. I got to clarify that nowadays. I see some of you guys reaching for your wallets, kind of like, okay, come on with me, kind of a thing like that. Listen, let me tell you this. I'm telling you now, it's a biblical principle. And the biblical principle is God sees a group of people and they need somebody and God builds a work around a man. And He said, if this man will be faithful and those people will be faithful to take care of that man, I'm going to take care of those people that can take care of them. And that thing works like a circle. You say, then what happens? Then the people can't take credit and preacher can't take credit and God gets all the credit.
Amen.
You know all we're doing? We just find our cog in the wheel.
Yes.
That's all any of us are doing. Helping out where we can, doing what we can do, just anything you can do. Every now and then you pick up a little piece of trash and every now and then you help somebody along the way. And sometimes I can't get to the hospital and you get to the hospital. You say, well, it's an extension.
Yes.
It's an extension. You're filling in the holes and filling in the gaps and helping people where you can help them. You say, why? I'm one person, but you're getting big enough now. One person can't do it. So what do? You just step in here and step in here and fix it here and do that and this and that and the other. I got a whole congregation full of hers. And Aaron's. You say, what do they do? He just constantly, keep them up there, preacher. Keep them up there. No, you're getting tired, preacher. Hold them up.
Amen.
Just go along and do something like walk in the back door and have it mentioned about Brother Ernie and a couple of slats by the air conditioner. And the next thing you know, those old ones are off, the new ones are on, and it's fresh painted for the kids for Vacation Bible School. You get a little 3-gallon plant there with a big old hibiscus about that big around. I don't know if you sent him that picture, a crimson-colored hibiscus flower on there that just reminds me to say, "Preacher, we're praying for you."
Yep.
Get a sack full of vegetables.
Yes. Yep.
Get squash and get them bell peppers, yellerns and red ones and green ones, and get maters. You say, "What do you think about that?" You couldn't buy them off of me for $1 million. You say, "Well, you know, people, preacher, just help you a little bit. Can I just help you a little bit? Just help you." You know what it does for me when I see you helping each other? I see people's car busted down here, and I see you up there beside them, and I see grease up to your elbows, and you're trying to get them fixed and started and jumped off, and I'm like, "Yeah, boy, go, man. Go, man. Go, man, go." That lights me on fire. You put together a situation where we can take a bunch of kids to youth camp. And most of the time, people around here, anonymously, they sponsor kids to go to youth camp that can't afford to go to youth camp because they didn't get to go to youth camp. Oh, yeah, boy. Oh, man, I'm telling you. That's good as it gets. Philippians chapter number 4. Let me hurry. I'll try to get you out of here before 6 o'clock, Lord willing. Philippians 4, look in verse number 14. Here talking about communication. Philippians 4, verse number 14. The Apostle Paul says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." That's when Paul was having some difficult times there. Look at 15. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again to my necessity." Paul said, "You're always taking care of me, even though I'm somewhere else." Do you know what you do, ladies and gentlemen? You may not realize this, and you may not appreciate it. Come to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. And you may not appreciate it. When you allow me the blessed privilege, and I'm not saying that in a funny way, when you allow me the blessed privilege, and a lot of people take it for granted, maybe you think my wife's glad to get rid of me when I'm gone, but she actually misses me when I'm gone, and she wishes I was there. But when y'all allow me the privilege of going, you know what you're doing? You're saying, "If you can go help them, help them." That's Paul. You communicated with me when I was trying to help somebody else. There was a church there that Paul was at. They couldn't even pay Paul. They couldn't pay attention. They were so broke. And the Apostle Paul said, "Hey, you people over there in Thessalonica, you helped me out. You paid the bills while I was over here trying to minister to somebody else." That's the epitome of unselfishness. Here, maybe he can help you out. You say, "Well, what do you think about that?" That's my calling. You've given me the privilege of being unshackled and being able to do that. Trust me, follow me around for a few weeks. You'd be running around with your tongue hanging out. Morning and evening meetings all the time. Monday to Wednesday, Monday to Thursday, and back on a plane and back in. You say, "Well, you know, shouldn't you be slowing down?" Heck no, I ain't slowing down. I'm ready to speed it up. You say, "Why?" Time's short.
Amen.
See, it ain't you it's going to affect the judgment seat. It's going to affect me. The Lord said, "An effectual door is open unto you." Well, if he opens the door, shouldn't I go through the door?
Yes,
you know what you're doing? You're showing, "Lord, I appreciate you," and get him out there to do something else. That old preacher, I went back and tracked it. That old preacher for 52 years was gone every other weekend, Friday to Sunday, for 52 years before he slowed down. Every other weekend. Two times every month. That's on average 24 meetings a year. That's outside of having blowouts and teaching school. He left on Friday and had all of his classes Monday to Thursday. Now, you don't think about this and you don't know that. Brother Donovan right now, he teaches classes over there Monday to Thursday, and he travels on the weekend, every other weekend, to go preach somewhere else. You don't think about that. That means he's doing the stuff during the day, and then at night at school, he goes to school from 6 to 10. And he teaches the majority of the classes. Boy, you talk about a load.
Amen.
Well, just so you know, he learned from the best. That's what that old man did for 60-something years. That man's up there in his 90s. And I'm sitting in class over there when I went over there to visit him. And I'm sitting in class and I'm watching him. And he's trying to kind of find his way there. And I see him backing off here and looking out the corner of his eye, and he's trying to get the thing in focus here. He's about 89, 90 right along in there. We'd just come back off of the prison thing, and he's looking like this. says, all right, now. And then he runs down, he says, call the roll, and he gets done doing all that stuff. And he says, all right, Matthew. And then he starts looking, and he starts teaching. Well, shouldn't he quit? He's 90 years old, man. I sat there in amazement. I thought to myself, man, are you kidding me? Still going like that at 90? And be up there for 3 hours and then meet me for breakfast the next morning. And when I'm on the way out to head back over to Jacksonville, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I can't even keep up with you. You know what we had on average when we went on prison junket? You know what we had on average? We had an average of 4 meetings a day. That's 4 meetings at an hour to an hour and a half every time he preaches, because he preaches and draws. 4 meetings. You'd have 1 or 2 before lunch and 1 or 2 after. And then there were certain places let us in the evening. So then it would either be 5 or 6 meetings in a day for 2 solid weeks. And he'd stop on the way back and come in here on a Friday. And we'd have a meeting that morning. And then we would come in here and he'd be Friday morning here, Saturday morning, Friday night, or Saturday night, or Friday night here, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and we'd be in Tallahassee first thing Monday morning for meetings over there at the Swamp Gator, Brother Warmax. And he'd run 4 a day over there for 2 solid weeks and get back over there, and he was in his 80s. Retirement. He never even thought of it until he got to the point where he couldn't see anymore. And he realized that it's time for me. So 2 years before he died, he turned things over to Brother Donovan. But up until then, you know what he's doing? He's still teaching class. You say, why? He's got his eye on the prize.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about you, and I can't speak for you. But I don't know where my life would be if it hadn't been for that man pouring his life into me. But I didn't ever consider that him taking time with me meant he was taking time from somebody else. Do you realize he was over here every weekend, one time a year, every weekend for 23 years? 23 years he wasn't in Pensacola, he was here with us. Do you think about where you might be if it hadn't been for that influence in my life? Where would you be if it wasn't for that influence in your life? You say, well, what happened? Well, somebody's got to pay the price. So they do without, so you can have. That's a biblical principle. Lord could have stayed home in heaven. Right? He could have just said, I'll write it in the sky or put it in their heart. He came down and did it himself.
Amen.
I'm not being hard on you. I'm just saying, if you live for eternity, things become a lot more clear. If you're living for the here and now, it's an entirely different deal. All right, let me give you this last one here. This is in reference to communication. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 18, make it 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now, what he's saying there to you is that you have a responsibility to try to take care of things that God would have you to take care of. And you folks are good at that. And I'm not aiming it at you. I'm not leveling the playing field or whatever you want to call it. I'm simply saying to you, Paul says there's something I'm telling you now, Philemon. And in the meantime, let me just tell you, I sure am grateful that y'all communicated with me. And Paul said, now I have the opportunity to communicate with you. Paul didn't have the dough to give him. All Paul had to give him was what God gave him. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? To the best of my ability, I'm going to give you everything God gave me. You know what that old preacher did? He gave you everything God gave him. He never withheld it. He gave it all to us. We listen to him every day. She's got her own little deal she's running through. That's my... I call him my riding buddy, my passenger. I get on the thing because I don't want to listen to all the stuff on the plane, and I put that old man in and I'm listening to him. He's back in the 80s, late 70s. And I'm thinking, how did he know that stuff? It's 2021 and you're 40 years later. And I'm listening to him say stuff on there and I'm like, crazy. That ain't in there. How did I not see that? You say, what is it? The Lord allowed us the privilege of having somebody come into our lives. We ought to be real grateful for it. And because of that, then God may hold us accountable to a higher standard. But it just starts with gratitude. I sure appreciate it. Do you pray for your brothers and sisters over in Pensacola? Do you know how many people would love to see that place come apart? You say, why? Because of who it was that started it. Don't you think that the devil would love to see that place come apart? You say, what do you do? They depend on you. Pray for them. Whether you've ever been over there or not, you're a benefactor of their investment in us over here. You're looking at it. You got an old preacher in North Carolina. Mama Utley just had a hip replacement, and she's, not doing real good. She's kind of getting where she can't see much and can't hear much, and she's had a real difficult time in recovery and stuff like that. And he asked me one time about praying, and I told him about this. And this is back when we were over here. And he took a little bag of dirt, had the address in it. I can't tell you how many times I saw that thing sitting on his kitchen table. He said, still praying, still praying, still praying. Old North Carolina preacher, his birthday's tomorrow. He'll be 84 years young tomorrow. He's still going. He's still preaching. His wife's falling apart. Church is small now. Irish Potato Road. Still got the rock up on the mountain. Had great meetings there. Great preacher. Getting old now. He's getting on up there in age. And I think to myself, how many times he would call. Hey, I said, Preacher Utley, how you doing? I said, hey, preacher, how you doing today? He says, I was calling to check on you. Can't tell you how many times Mom Utley called. He said, what did they do? Took that piece of dirt from over there and prayed and prayed and prayed for somebody other than themselves. Why didn't they pray for their own congregation? Pray for God to fill up their building. You say, what did they do? They prayed for you to have a place of building. He said, why do you think it's there? I think it's because of the prayers of other people. Not just you. I know you prayed too. That preacher's over there that day. Let me give you this one story and then we'll go to the barn. Some of you have already heard the story, but I like to tell the story. We're here and everybody's all piled in here. Boy, I mean, we look like sardines in a sardine can, man. I mean, the only thing that ain't there is the oil, you know. I mean, we're jammed in here and we're all jacked up and excited, man, like we've had way too much caffeine and the singing's getting good and all that kind of stuff and all. And I'm looking everywhere. I cannot find hide nor hair of him. I'm just thinking, I don't know, he fell off in a ditch somewhere or something. I can't find him. I'm looking in the office. I'm looking in the bathrooms. I'm walking around. I can't find him anywhere, man. And I'm thinking, man, good night. The meeting's already in full swing, chairs all out in the aisleway, chairs all up in there, man. I mean, people packed in here like sardines and stuff like that. Get everything ready, the board out and the cellophane junk on the floor here to protect the floor and all that stuff. And we're ready to rumble, man. And I'm looking and I can't find him. And this is back when there was a barbed wire fence here. And then up here at the front end of this thing, they had like we had to make a special 10-foot fence deal back there because of, anyway, long story, but at any rate, I look over there, and at first I thought, well, there's a person there, and it can't be an animal that big. And I'm looking, and all the way over there by the substation, back there through the woods, I see somebody walking through the trees. And I thought, what's he doing over there? Maybe he's lost. Maybe it finally got the best of him. That's what I was thinking. Maybe he's tired. Why would you be walking in the woods with the kookaburras and the briars and all that stuff? And hot, August, man, it's hot. He's got on his suit over there, and he's walking. And so I intersected him. I got me a bead, and I figured about where he'd be, and I intersected him. And he's walking, and he's doing like this. And then all of a sudden, he walks, and he sees me, and he looks up. He said, yeah? I said, Preacher, we already starting the meeting now. And he said, I'm busy. I said, yes, sir, I see that, but we've started the meeting, and then we're going to have a couple of singers and all that, and then we'll be ready for you. You're the only preacher tonight, you know, and try to be courteous. And he looked at me, and he kind of took a breath, and he, you know, sometimes he'd squint his eyes a little bit. He said, you want this piece of property or not? And I said, well, You take your time. We'll be ready whenever you're ready to go. He said, I told you to leave me alone. I'm busy. I said, yes, sir. And he walked off. Went all the way back to the back corner back there in the North 40. That's a retainer ditch now, a retention pond now, but it wasn't back then. He walked back there, and he came back around here. And the next thing I know, he's here. He's got stuff, all briars and leaves and all kind of stuff all over his britches, man. And I walked in and looked at him, and I said, he just looked at me like, you ain't about to... You know, because he'd sometimes have that one britches leg in his boot like this, chalk all over him, chocolate on his mouth, you know, and spit nuts while he was preaching and things like that, you know. He never fit that polished look.
Amen.
But boy, could he preach.
Amen.
And he walked in here and, oh, I could almost tell you to the day, somebody found a real estate sign laying in the ditch over there. And Woodard said, you want me to call and check on it? I said, man, the last time we checked on that thing, that was up in the millions. We can't touch that, man. There ain't no way. He goes, well, I'll call and check on it. And we bought a piece of property. And paid for it. And we never turned a shovel of dirt until it was paid for. And then we turned the dirt, and it was paid for. And then the people came and did all the underground work, and it was paid for. And then they cleared out the parking lot, and it was paid for. And now you got a building going up. How can you be so foolish to think it's anything but God?
Amen.
Ain't none of us can float a boat like that.
Right.
You say, what is that? He that sitteth in the heavens,
amen,
dwelleth in the high and the holy place,
yes,
sitteth upon the throne, looks down there at Harley Road and says, clear the way and make a way for him. And the old preacher says, amen. Get up there to heaven. The Lord said, come here. He'll call him Ruckman, you know. Wouldn't call him Petey. So come here, Ruckman. Yes, sir. Don't tell nobody I'm going to do this, okay? What you do, I'm going to split the firmament for you and make you a little hole. He said, look down there. Well, I'll be, that boy finally got him a parking lot and a building. About time. I've been telling him a long time he needed to do that stuff. And okay, that's enough. He just wants you to know I heard your prayers.
Amen. Yes, amen.
God did that.
Yes.
That's him talking. God did that.
Amen.
And you're a part of it. It can't be done without human instrumentation. God lets me and you get in on what he's doing. You say, why? Because you're willing to communicate. God, we've been good to us, but we want to do something for you. That thing's over there for others. Y'all don't need it. You don't need it no more than a billy goat. You folks in here, you'd meet under a brush arbor.
Amen.
Yes, you would. You would. You people would. You'd meet out there under the tabernacle. You'd be under the tent. You know, it's hot out here, but thank the Lord we got a place to meet, you know. Ain't this a blessing, you know? Look, we got our own little lake out here and everything, and it's pretty out here, you know. And yeah, you would. You would. You ain't building that for yourself. That ain't no monument to you. You building that thing for other people.
Yes.
You want them to see Jesus like you saw him.
Amen.
You want them to have a place to come. A place for kids to grow up. A place for the nursery to work. And Sunday school classes to get filled up. missionaries to get sent out,
amen,
and preachers to preach. You're showing God I'm willing to communicate because I want to see you glorified. I don't know if you realize that, but you ought to. Lord, personally, I thank Him for allowing me to be around people that care about something other than them cotton-picking selves. Because
yes,
otherwise, you know what? You could get by with this just fine. But you're thinking, but Lord, what might you do if we just do our part? Let's stand together and be dismissed.